My name is Eve. I'm an addict. I'm a nervous addict at that. What can I say? One thing I like about NA, and I will start off, is when I'm walking down the street or where I'm going about my business and I've got like my jacket on or anything like that, people can see me but they don't know who I am. But as soon as I come down to a meeting, I take off that jacket and I shine my heart to you guys, and I can be honest and open. And that's one thing, one place that I can be so open in NA. About me, I'm 35. I have a large family. I've got four brothers and one sister, and I was raised strict Catholic, and I had a very very good childhood. I actually thought that to be a druggie or to be involved with drugs, you would have to have some kind of trauma, or you would have had to have come from a broken home. That wasn't the case for me at all. I had a very happy childhood. 2009, my dad went away in business and he didn't come back. He basically passed away with heart failure at the age of 52. That destroyed my life completely. I had never had to deal with a death, let alone death in my immediate family. I didn't know how to deal with it. I couldn't deal with it. So the first thing I did is I went and I picked up heroin. And I used. And I used to take the pain away. And I used to forget. And I just couldn't deal with life then. I left everything to my brother, you know, to deal with the funeral, to help my mum, to help all our siblings. And I dealt with it, my dad's death, in my way, which was consuming drugs and trying to forget about everything. And I became very, very angry, extremely angry. I was angry at you, angry at you. The person at the back down there, whose face I can't see, I was angry at you as well. The fact that my dad's gone and, you know, who took my dad away, and how dare you... How dare you have the right to take my dad away? And that just gave me my fuel for hatred, for anger, for animosity. And I used on all them feelings. So I was using for about 6 months, 9 months. And I had eventually had enough of it. I found myself a job and I knew I had to get clean. So I went and I got help. I went to a drug centre, I was on a script, I was reduced down, but the thing is, no one told me about NA, and looking back now, I'm surprised that a drug agency didn't tell me about NA, didn't know about NA, anything. So obviously, after a year, I went back out there, and this time I picked up crack as well, and that was me. I was gone. I was out. I was a crack kitten, everyone. I wasn't a crackhead, I was a crack kitten. And I used, I abused. I had a job working with people with learning disabilities and mental health. I used to go in there, fucked out of my head. I mean, I was in charge of giving vulnerable people medication. So the night before, I would come straight to work on an all-night bender looking to give these vulnerable adults medication. That's where my addiction took me. Then my mental health started to decrease. I tried to take my own life and I was in a mental institution. But still, while I was there, I said to myself, it's not the drugs, definitely not the drugs. It's what's going on around me. So I was in deep, deep, deep denial. And I thought to myself, if only if I don't use as much, or if only if I use maybe by myself, or if only I used at a certain time, maybe I could control my using, because I wasn't an addict still. To me, addicts were people that didn't have jobs, didn't have homes, went and thieved for their money, were dirty looking, smart looking. So I in turn was in the gutter, looking down at people in the gutter. And when I think about that now, I just think how self-centered I was, thinking I was, you know, better than just the average druggie, not knowing that to a dealer, money is money. That doesn't matter where it comes from. So I lost my job, and that just gave me more time to use, more time to hang around with all these vagabonds, and just time to just get involved in finding ways, means to use. Lied to my family, stole from my family. I grew up with a very, very close bond. African families usually do that. And for me using, I just stepped away, didn't go to any family gatherings. I missed my cousin's wedding. I missed my brother's 30th. I missed a lot of memories that I should have been present for, and I wasn't. And I can't get them back, but I know that I can still make memories for the future. I went out stealing, I went out thieving, and still I look down at people. You know, I thieve for my money. I'm a good addict. You know, slowly but surely, all the lines that I was told not to cross was installed in me not to cross. I limboed over them. I hopped, skipped and jumped over them. I didn't even think about the lines. I just, one after another, after another, after another. Until it took me where I was out on the street, like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, propositioning men for money, thinking, if I take their money and run, then at least I wouldn't have had to have done the do. Which, yeah, for the first couple of times, that was fun. But it was just a matter of time. Literally, until I went and I did the do. And when I share, I have to say that because I have to keep it real to myself, and I have to let myself know where my addiction could have taken me. I mean, my thieving took me to court, gave me a criminal record. I didn't adhere to it whatsoever, so I had a warrant out for my arrest. And I was just, it's just madness. I was just in the madness. I don't even call it the madness. I call it the matrix because it's so not reality. You know, the kind of stuff that are acceptable in that world are just so far-fetched in the real world. You know? I think that the judge put me in Holloway for the weekend to scare me. Didn't do anything for me. If anything, that just gave me more street cred. 2014, I literally had enough. I was dead inside and outside. I weighed 7.5 stone. I didn't have any hair because I didn't look after myself. Personal hygiene had gone. Respect for myself had gone. Love for myself had gone. Crack became my boyfriend, my husband, my hero, my knight in shining armor. We used to argue all the time. It was a love-hate relationship. I loved him, I hated him, I loved him some more. And then I woke up one day and I realized that I need him more than he needs me. And it wasn't until that Christmas, it was my younger brother that I came home from a binge, and he just said to me, "Sis, what's going on with you? You're obviously taking something. I just want my sister back." And that gave me the opportunity to be honest with my family and ask for help. And straight away there was a family intervention. And it wasn't my mother as much, it was my siblings, which are all younger than me, but we're literally born one after the other. Like, there's 9 years between me and the youngest one. And I moved in with my younger sister. She looked after me. My brothers came to meetings with me. I started getting drug treatment, and that it was then, like, my counsellor said to me, "Why don't you try NA?" And I thought, okay, I'm going to try this NA. I have to go. And I remember my first time in an NA meeting. I came, I stood at the back, I had my hood on, and I had my Don't Touch Me armour on, and I looked at all the people, and I thought, there's no way that all these people can be clean, you know? And the second meeting I went to, the guy that runs the meeting is actually here in this room. Really? Wow. Even when I went to the meetings, I still couldn't admit that I was an addict. You know, it took me a while to admit that I was an addict. forward now, what is NA like for me today? NA, for me, has saved my life. And I've said this before, and again, I will say it again. You know, when they say, don't leave until the miracle happens, or what has NA done for you? And I thought that, well, if I attend NA and I put money in the pot, then, you know, one day it will come back to me. And thinking about it carefully and realizing it has come back to me. I have my family in my life. I have friends that I can depend on, friends that text me or call me just to tell me what they're thinking about me. The last time I was in court, I said to my drug worker that was with me, I said, the next time I'll be in court, it'll be to help someone. That was 2 years ago. 2 years to the day, 2 years ago, I was in drug court with NA. I can be present for my siblings' birthdays. I can be present for my cousin's wedding. My baby sister's getting married next year. I'm going to be there. My younger brother, who I stole off, who couldn't even look me in the eye, he bought a new car a couple of months ago, and he said to me, you know, the keys come with two keys. He had one, and I said, what are you going to do with the other one? And I know this sounds so minor to you, but it was such a big thing to me. He turned around and he said, you hold that, the other set of keys. And that's a big thing for me. Like, yeah, it's only keys, but he trusts me and he has faith in me that much. He can give me something of high value that he knows he can trust me with. One thing I would like to mention is service. I mean, I've only started working the steps now. I'm 2 years, 1 month and 2 weeks, but I'm not counting how clean I am. And I hadn't worked the steps before. And the only thing, or one of the things that stopped me from going out there was coming to meetings. I came to meetings. Even when I didn't want to, I sat my ass down. I went for coffee after. I found it very hard to gel with people. But I came to meetings and I did service. And I would love to give a speech about how much service does for people. You know, I try and do as much service as I can. Go to drug court, go to prisons, and try and do anything that I can. Because if I was in that situation, which I could have been, and I still could be, I would want someone to come in and give me hope. Hope is another good word, because that came out of one of our meetings last week when they pulled a subject out and they described what is hope. And hope to me is watching a newcomer come into a meeting scared, bewildered. They come in, they sit down, and they pick up a white key, and you tell them, keep coming back, and you see them in a couple of weeks time, and they pick up their 30 days of keyring. To me, that's hope. Thank you. And it's quite astonishing how we, well, let me speak for myself, I don't have hope in myself, but I have hope for other people. One thing that I will end on is actually two things. I climbed Mount Snowdon on Tuesday, so I was up climbing Mount Snowdon on Tuesday, which is another gift of recovery. You know, while I was, you know, in drug houses, I wouldn't have ever thought of getting fit to climb Mount Snowdon. I achieved that on Tuesday. Also, the reading where it says, for the still suffering addicts, basically, all you guys saved my life. I mean, you guys were praying for me before when I was out in the outside on the street. And I want to end on that message because it gets that deep. think about while I was out there drugging and scheming and lying and using and doing whatever I was doing, you guys that I don't know were fucking praying for me to get on this chair. And I'll end it there. Thank you.